Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Out in the Field podcast. We are joined today by Al and Emanuela Perna, who have been on the mission field for around 50 years. Al began originally growing up as a missionary kid in Italy, and he felt a call to return back to Italy and continue what God had laid on his life. So I guess we'll begin there. Al, so you said that you grew up in Italy and then you felt a call to go back to Italy. Can we start there? Why did you feel like you should go back?
I guess it was burning in my heart. My dad, who was the senior missionary in Italy all those years, started sending me out as a teenager to interpret for some well-known evangelists and speakers from America. And so when I was 17, the founder of Youth with a Mission, Warren Cunningham, who just went to be with the Lord, I translated for him. We traveled all the way through Italy, and here is he was already in his mid-20s as a young evangelist, and I'm about 17 years old at the time. And so I was going back and forth my summers from Bible college. I'd go back overseas, and I actually did my four-year degree in 3 years, purposely because I had the call of God already burning on my heart. So I was single when I went back to the field, which was an exception by Assemblies of God guidelines, but they let me go. I had all the education I needed at the time.
Why was it an exception?
Because you had to have pastored 2 years before you could go back to the mission field, and there were one or two other requirements, and I went in to see the head guy, our general for missions, who knew me because he had seen me grow up on the mission field. He was the missions director for all the world. And he would stop in Italy often, eat my mom's spaghetti dinners and enjoy those. And so I went into his office. First, I went to the office of the Europe director, Charles Greenaway. And he said, you better go see Phil Hogan, who is the international director, because I can't make an exception. And so you had to be a certain age, been married, and have pastored 2 years. And I went to the office, and he said, oh, I said, I want to go back to the field. He said, you just graduating? Yes. Do you have any links with the district? I said, yes, Oklahoma. He said, you couldn't do any better than that. And, and so he knew where the good districts were for missions. And he said, well, he turned around, called the business office, and said, open an account for Al Perna Jr. And I never went through any testing. I never went through. It was the scrutiny of one man who gave me the go away. Went back to Italy, and then I started by pastoring a church for U.S. military in Naples. I was commuting from Rome, where I lived with my parents, to there. Then I started living with some military families. They offered, and I was still single. I never married till I was 29. And so all of this is my 20s from 21 on. And then after that, they asked me to go and fill in for a missionary who was going on furlough who had started a church near Venice in the city of Padova. And my wife can fill you in on that. She was a part of that church, but a teenager. And so that was the beginning of my ministry.
And which year was this?
I went back to the mission field in 1966. I was ordained in Oklahoma in 1969. And then all of these other things took place, and I didn't meet my wife. Like I said, she was a teenager at the time, and I never considered her. I was dating somebody in Oklahoma, actually, at the time. And God had other plans. And so it was in 1974 that we got together. And God, she had already gone to, and I'll let her fill that in, a Bible college here in Europe. Are there in Europe.
Okay. And so for you, do you feel that it was just never a question since you grew up in it, that was never a question that you were called to the ministry?
I had never a question about that. I never had a question about going back to Italy. And it was only later than the doors opened up, because we spent most of our time outside of Italy overseeing, and we'll get to that later perhaps, as directors for your Teen Challenge. Back then it was called Eurasia Teen Challenge.
Okay. And so you went to Bible school, talking to Emanuela now, you went to Bible school in, was it Venice?
The Bible school in Brussels, Belgium.
Brussels.
Okay. Which is now is called a theological seminary.
Okay.
Continental Theological Seminary.
Right.
Why did you feel, what gave you the idea to go over there and start that? Did you just feel a calling or?
My story is quite, goes back to my parents. They were Catholic, very zealous, in search for truth. They found the Bible and began reading it. Some member in the family were sick. They could not have help from priests, doctors, and burning candles as the priest had told them to. They began reading the Bible and applying what the Bible said. Laying hands on the sick, they were healed. The voice kind of spread around. And more people would come meeting at their house. The priest did not like that. And to make a long story short, they were excommunicated from the Catholic Church.
Wow.
It was not easy because it's what we call white persecution. The priests had the monopoly of a lot of jobs and businesses. So a lot of these new believers, if you want to call it, lost their jobs.
Wow.
And as I was growing up a little child, my mom kept saying, you need to find a verse that will guide your life. And remember, we know who God is. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if the kids do not invite you to birthday parties or whatever. We know who God is. We have seen it. And I found Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed because I will be with you wherever you go. And the important thing is, have I not commanded you? That's the beginning of the verse. That has taken me throughout my life. My family, reading the Bible, came across the this power of the Holy Spirit, and they could not get answers. By divine appointment, they met a missionary that of the Assemblies of God that had just come in the nearby city, and they met. He answered all the questions, and this little group that was meeting, excommunicated from the Bible, from the Catholic Church, that had met the Methodist Church, all of a sudden say, oh, okay, now we have the whole truth. And they asked this missionary to come over to our city and start the church. Wow. This missionary had to go back on furlough. And that's where Al came in, my husband. He was asked to pastor the church for the year while the missionary was on furlough. Well, the church grew, and I graduated and got my teacher's degree, but I had this strong desire to go to Bible school, because we were reaching the city, we were going to the park, we had new young people coming in and giving their life to Christ, and I said, okay, I can answer only two or three of their questions, and then I am at a loss. And so the door opened for me to go to the Bible school in Brussels, Belgium. That's where I studied for 2 years. Al came to a meeting in Brussels, and we saw each other again, and then the spark happened. And so I went to Bible college in 72, and 2 years later, in 74, we kindly re-met. The spark happened, and we were married the later part of 74.
And the interesting thing is that I was asked to pastor that church as a single missionary, which they said they shouldn't have even sent me out as a single missionary. But I pastored that church. We had our distance. She didn't say that she was leading the young people of that church when I was pastoring that year. She was about 16. Taking them out to the parks to witness and so on. Then she had her call to go, and she told the story about going to the Brussels Bible School. We later went back to the Brussels Bible School to teach. I was teaching. She took another class while she was there. But the way the Lord brought our lives together was in itself unique and against, cross the grain of what typical regulations are.
Yeah, it's, you can really, like, hindsight, you can really see how God moved you.
He
opened up doors, you know, by his favor on your life, Al, to move you where he needed you to be. And then for you, Manuela, your whole family seemed to have been set aside. You know, it reminds me of, like, the Levitical priesthood, is that that excommunication is probably what placed you in a position to become zealous, to face adversity that God used to hone you. And I'm sure that must have been very difficult at times, especially as a kid growing up.
My parents were very strong in their faith, extremely strong. We were having devotions at home. I never felt that I missed anything. There were times that I would have liked to go to the Catholic Church activities that they had in the community, but I cannot say that I missed it, and I cannot say that I was deprived of anything, because I would say our faith was stronger, and that's what mattered.
To put the time scale into perspective, I went to pastor that church in 1970, and it was, what, 1 or 2 years before that that you had come into the faith, into the fullness of the Spirit?
In 67, 68, something like
right.
that.
Right, so it was a missionary had started this church out of necessity, because they were searching for the Holy Spirit, and the missionary went to a interdenominational missionary meeting, and they were asking, her dad was asking all kinds of questions about the Holy Spirit, and they said, you need to talk to that missionary. And he happened to be an Assemblies of God missionary, didn't speak great Italian, but God used him to start that church, and then he didn't want to leave it, but they had to come home on furlough. That's when I stepped into the picture, and here I am at that time, 25 years old or so, and the rest is kind of what we've already described.
So when did you leave the church to go teach other leaders? You mentioned earlier that you were teaching, you know, to raise up leaders.
Okay. What happened was I started teaching in the Bible school in Rome that had been started by missionaries with the national church. The strong. See, in Italy, if I haven't mentioned it already, there's the Catholic Church and there's the Assemblies of God. All the other splinter groups are very small, even to this day. The evangelicals, so to speak, charismatics now, but still the Assemblies of God are the strongest movement there. And so I had started teaching in the Bible school there, single and young, but I was the only one who had any kind of a degree. I came out with a bachelor's degree at least, none of them had Bible degrees. They had just been born through a spontaneous move of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. My dad didn't have a Bible college degree, but he too was influential in seeing those years from 1949 that he got there till his first furlough in 1953 to see really flame up. And since then, here we are now. It's the largest denomination next to the Roman Catholic Church in the country of Italy. So I started teaching in the Bible school there. Then later I was invited to be a guest teacher at Continental Theological Seminary. That's what it's called now, where she was going to school. In the meantime, God redirected my path into Teen Challenge, which works among youth in America, started by David Wilkerson. A missionary had gone to Europe to start Teen Challenge, and it flamed up in many countries. I was still single. I was asked to come on staff, and immediately was made the associate director of this ministry. There was the one who founded it, who had started Teen Challenge in Dallas and Fort Worth. And then he brought me on board. And it was only later that I went back to Italy on my trips and got to know Emanuela in a personal way. And my dad had put his eyes, he said, you know, there's a gal there in that church that you pastored. Have you never thought about her? here I was thinking of the girls I'd left in Bible college and the ones I'd dated in America. And God gave me, in a specific prayer time, the Lord told me it was to be her. And she can fill in her side of the gaps of it. But then through Teen Challenge, we began teaching. And when the director founder decided to come back to the States, there was a board established. We were already in about 25 or 27 countries. Now it's in over 35 countries. I was asked to be the director, and I was voted in by the Europeans, not even appointed by Springfield or by our headquarters of the Assemblies of God. I mean, it's one miracle after another that, looking back, and even knowing that she was to be the one for me, I was down with colitis and in bed and praying, and the Lord put in my heart a scripture verse that brought me back to her.
Can you go into that? Like, how exactly did he communicate that to you?
Okay. Here I am lying in bed. I would get up to do what I had to do during the week, but I always full of cramps, colitis, and so on. I had to watch what I ate, and so on. So that Sunday, I was in bed, and I said, I can't get up to go to church today. I was in Germany at the time already, filling in for the director, the founder, who was on furlough in the States. So he asked me, of course, if I would move up there to take over for him. And I'm in bed laying, and while I'm there, I had some music on. I didn't even go to church that day. And out of nowhere, a verse came that I didn't know about, hidden way back in the Old Testament. And I reached over and got my Bible. I went to that passage. It was actually a book, chapter, and started at a verse. And I'm reading the verse, and when I got down to one verse, let me parenthetically say, the next day I was going to be going to Brussels, and I knew her, and I knew I would see her, but there, I was still questioning.
Can you tell me what verse it was?
And you shall go to her, and you shall be her husband, and she shall be your wife. Any clearer?
And this was after your dad mentioned her?
Yes, but I wasn't sure, because when we were together in Brussels for a missionary leadership meeting one time, and she couldn't come to dinner. My dad always liked to take the Italian-speaking students to dinner. There were four or five of them. They were all tied up with term papers, jobs, and whatever. And they all said, we can't come out tonight. Can't come out. And we turn around and walk away. And my dad turns to me and he says, son, are you deaf, dumb, and blind? Here's this girl with long blonde hair all the way down her back at that time. And I can describe even more to you. She couldn't come. We knew each other because she'd been the youth leader when I pastored the church that I was filling in for the missionary. Now she winds up in Brussels. I wind up in Germany. And we connect. We dated four or five times after that. And I said, well... And I told her what God was saying, and we just took a long walk and talked it out. She said, well, I've been praying about the same thing.
Same thing as to find a husband, or were you also thinking about him specifically?
So while I need to go back. When I was in Brussels.
Continental Bible College.
Yeah. One of the assignments to the students, we had assignments to minister. And I was assigned the Italian church made up of immigrants, downtown Brussels. And there I was working with youth. I started the Sunday school, always extremely active. I was part of a singing group with the Bible school. And we were traveling and ministering, even in Paris, and working with drug addicts and youth. So my passion has always been youth. Well, while in Bible school, I had a lot of proposals, such as, would you like to be the mother of my children?
Well, tell them where these proposals came from.
And I was thinking, I would like to be your wife first. So I had a list of proposals. When Al came to talk, I said, okay, God, I need to put this on the list and prayer, because I do have a specific calling from you, and I know what it is. And it's not that because a person is saved or it's training to be a minister. I need to make sure that we are compatible as far as the calling of the work that you want us to do.
So you were really seeking the kingdom first when it came to this.
Absolutely. When we went for a walk, I was asking him all different type of questions about his life, about his faith, about what he thought about his work. And when he told me that he was working with Teen Challenge and reaching and training, my life lit up, and I said, oh God, is this the answer? And so I began praying even more, and God then confirmed it.
But then I took a trip back to Brussels for some other thing. I had a meeting that never turned out, and I contacted her. We took a walk in the park, and we made sure there was a lot of people around. And that's when she told me what she just told you, and I told her what I had.
Wow. And so it was really, God just divine brought you together. That's incredible.
He did. So we were one mind, because we knew that our life would have followed the plan that God had. And it was seeking God first.
And in a few months, it'll be our 50th year.
That is awesome. Well, for anybody listening who's still looking for their spouse, do you think that how you got together is a blueprint or a format, an outline of what God should do in someone's life? Do you think someone getting together will look completely different because it's personal to them?
I think God works differently in different situations. The important thing is, like, God spoke to her before she ever knew me, what the passion of her heart was, that you should put Christ first in your life, and then he will bring the right person to cross your path.
It always goes back to what I was trained as a child. We know who God is. We need to trust him, and he will just guide you and place you in the right situation, even for a partner in your life, even for a husband or a wife. And definitely, if you seek God first, there's no question.
And what God has allowed us to do since then, and even since retiring, quote unquote, I don't like that word, we take annual mission trip back. We have a lot of contacts there with Nationals. And of course, she has some relatives there. Her dad, who was one of the founding elders of the church that started in that city where then she grew up in as a Pentecostal. He passed away at 97 last year. So her sisters are there. They serve the Lord. And we know that church. In fact, we plan to go back on a missions trip in a few months now. And we will be working with the retired assistant general superintendent of the Italian Assemblies of God. He's pioneering, even though he's retired, working with pioneer churches to help them get started. And he wants me to spend some time with him when we go back.
Reminds me of what our guest speaker said last Sunday, is your most productive decade is 60 to 70.
Yeah.
Something like that. I was like, wow, that blew me away.
Yeah.
But, you know, what y'all are talking about, how you got together, it does really remind me of the verse, you know, when Jesus is talking about why worry about food and clothes and the like, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. You know, I think that God knew that y'all needed each other to accomplish the goals and the callings and purpose that he had for your lives. So it was just natural that if you were to follow God, then he would naturally bring you together.
The other thing is that if you do have a word from the Lord at the beginning of your relationship and then you enter the marriage, when, it's not if, but when you encounter issues, problems, misunderstanding, and whatever during your marriage, you can always go back to whatever the Lord said. You can kneel down, you can pray and say, hey, God, this is what we are encountering. Maybe the enemy is shutting doors. Maybe we have issues, physical problems with children and whatever. But we know who you are. You gave us this word. You carried us through before, and you will do from now on.
I was 29 when I was married, and the Lord gave us two wonderful boys. They're both graduates of the University of Oklahoma. They both attend great churches. One lives here in Oklahoma City. We just moved to Edmond. And the other is working in the Dallas area. Both good positions in their companies, serving the Lord, married to Christian gals. One has a daughter from Texas is going to come back up here to go to OU. And the other, who married later in life, to a gal who was from another denomination. She's now filled with the Holy Spirit and with two small children, 4 and 6 years of age. So it's just kind of passed on. Now they're not called to full-time service, but they're supporting missionaries financially. Mm-hmm. They have jobs like I would have never dreamed of, making more than I would ever dreamed of, living in homes that God has blessed them with, and serving the Lord. And that's the most important thing. And this church has been our home church for about 30 years.
That's awesome. So going to when you're in Teen Challenge, I know here, you know, there are some teens that are in some very dark places who do have their lives radically transformed. Is there any testimonies like that you can share with us?
Well, when I was single and filling in for the missionary who was on furlough, we flash back to, in order to give you this example. There was a Baptist missionary who started a coffee house in the building, and on the ground floor of a building I was living. Everything's high rise in Europe because of the lack of space. I had the privilege of leading this couple to the Lord. And I really didn't realize I was doing it. He came down and saw, and we played ping pong together. His wife was a staunch Catholic, but dabbling in the occult. She got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit before he did. And then when we were having a water baptism service, her dad had set up tents along the river because it was at the river. So the ladies could change, and then the men, there was just 4 or 5 that got baptized. And this guy had heard everything I was saying to his wife. And he knew that, saw the changes in his wife. And he was still smoking. That doesn't send you to hell, maybe, but he was. He had been an alcoholic. And I'm changing my clothes. We would just put bathing trunks to go into the river to baptize. And he comes in and he starts undressing. I said, "Tony, what are you doing?" His name was Antonio, but he went by Tony. He said, "What do you think? I'm getting baptized." He sat in the meetings with one-on-one in their living room when I was telling his wife what I always did for preparation for baptism, what it means, why you're doing it, asking her if she felt she was ready. Yes.
Wow.
And so he had heard all that. And I learned to know, because then we traveled together for Teen Challenge. He was a businessman. He owned 3 language schools, but they could run themselves. He had somebody operate. And so he traveled with me in Teen Challenge Ministry all over Europe. And he had gotten his roots. He quit smoking. He had been an epileptic. And he just went to be with the Lord not too many months ago, in his late 80s. And so God works those things out.
So as you were talking to his wife about the baptism, you think the Holy Spirit was just pressing on his heart?
He was a quiet type of guy. His wife later told me, you know, she never knew what was going on in his mind and in his life, because he had lived some sinful things in his life. Well, the Lord worked it, and all things work together. God, I like the new translations better. God causes all things to work together. Mm-hmm. They just don't happen. There's a cause behind it, and it's God that does it. And the new translations bring that out very, Romans 8:28, and it was so in Tony's life. And his wife is now writing a book on the starting of Teen Challenge. They started Teen Challenge for Italy.
Wow.
They left their jobs and their money and invested it in a farm to start the first.
No, I wanted to say that that day on the river banks, Al asked him, all right, if you want to be baptized, you get up there and give a testimony.
Oh, I forgot that, yes.
And so he said, I accepted Christ. He forgiven of all my sins, and his life was totally transformed. When the tax people went to for checkup on his businesses, he had three language schools. Mm-hmm. They asked, and he gave them the right books. And the agent said, this is not what you do the other years. Where are the false books?
Because everybody knows, they know how to play the tax system, and you pay under the table maybe $500, but you're saving $5,000 of your income declaration.
Expected corruption, essentially.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Tony said, I am sorry. I am now a new believer in Christ. Here's my Bible. I cannot do this. These are the books and the right numbers.
And the Bible says I have to tell the truth.
Reminds me of Zacchaeus when he gave his money back
four
times over to everybody.
Yes, exactly.
That's wow. Just it's amazing seeing the evidence of God's hand in someone's life.
The word
life,
is alive and real.
Like that.
Yeah. Other testimonies. I was training young people to work a children's camp, and one of the youth came to me and said, well, I am doing drugs, and he mentioned a bunch of problems that he had playing with himself and pornography and other things. And so I talked to him and I said, all right, I want you to be accountable to me. And we will pray and you will let me know. And he says, well, now that you know all of this, will you want me to be one of the counselors or workers at the camp? So I told him, you confessed. You are transparent. You have been accountable. I will be watching you. But yes, you can still work. And he began reading the Bible more, praying more, being grateful to the Lord. Today, this young man is a pastor. He's married and he's a pastor. He came to visit us in Germany a few years before we returned. And one of the things that he said, leaving, hugging my neck, he said, Emanuela, I would never be in this position had you not believed in me and mentored me through those things. So you might have a problem, but Jesus is the answer. As long as you have someone that you can trust, that is rooted in the Word, that can mentor you, you can get out of it. You can be overcomer. You can be a winner.
One other briefer, maybe testimony. I was, before we were married, but Emanuela attended these camps. I was doing a youth camp in Italy. And back then, again, before I was married, so I was still in my mid-20s. And I was working with a British missionary who was an older gentleman. And so we had just finished teaching. I think he taught the morning session. The kids went out to play until lunch was served at the campsite. When I say tent, not campsite, not under the tents, but it was a farmhouse type of thing with bunk beds and so on. And a few stayed behind because somehow the word that morning had led to people seeking God. And so I would say there were five or six who remained behind and were praying and seeking God. Mind you, we're talking about kids between the ages of 10 and 14, 16 years of age. They didn't have them all divided in small age gaps. I didn't have enough teachers and enough space to do that. And so we stayed behind and started praying with these kids. And we were just going through like we used to do at the altar services when we had them. You had somebody, an elder or a deacon or somebody would go pray with people or one of the associate pastors. And I went by one of them, and I was a young boy. I don't know exactly, but he had to be between 12 and 13 years of age, more or less. Maybe not more than 14. He was worshiping God in English. So I asked somebody who knew him, said, no, this is the first time he's come here as a Catholic boy. He only speaks Italian. I said, but he's praying in English.
He was speaking in tongues?
Okay.
Okay, so I didn't mean to get ahead. Go ahead. This is incredible.
Wait, listen to what's coming. So we keep praying. A few minutes later, I walk by, and he's praying. Now, my third language is French. First English, Italian, and French. He was worshiping God in French. Let's cut to the chase. I went by again. He was worshiping him in German. And I called over somebody who had come from a German-Swiss family who spoke Italian, but he spoke German at home. I said, Marco, his name was Mark. I said, Marco, is he praying in German? A little bit later, I went by. Now, mind you, all these languages, now we're three. The fourth time I go by, and I said, that sounds like a Middle Eastern language. And we had somebody who was a missionary from Israel, and he never defined what the language was, or if he did, I don't remember. He was praying, it apparently in Hebrew.
Wow.
12 or 13 year old boy. Book of Acts. Right from the very beginning, they spoke in different languages, they came from different places. And so it's real. It's really real. And then God gave us ministry before I was married, and even after, to do camps and so on, and scores of kids came through to the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
That's incredible. I have only one experience like that. It was very similar. There was a Hebrew transfer student that came up that one of the girls at our church mm-hmm. invited over to our youth group. And one of the other guys there, Chris, he only knew English, you know, grew up in like Dallas, Texas, just English is his only language. And then during worship, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he started speaking in tongues, and then it just switched. And we were like, is that Hebrew? Because like some of us know a few words.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the transfer student never told us what it meant. Apparently, this was a very personal word that God was giving him. And so he didn't want to share it, but he said that God spoke to him through Chris. And he seemed to be very moved by it. I wish I could know, I knew more, but it's just God absolutely sees us where we're at. And it's just, God's just incredible. I don't know where I'm going with that. It just, he really does see us where we're at.
For example, other miracles that we have seen through Teen Challenge. The Ladies Teen Challenge Center in Italy received a young lady sent by the judge. It was either Teen Challenge or prison. She was a drug addict, HIV positive. She was pregnant by her grandfather.
Oh my goodness.
And later they also found out because of she was demon possessed by expressions that she
manifestations.
There's the word. Thank you. Manifestations. And they were praying and helping and trying to do everything that they could do for this young lady. She was disrupting the whole program. One day at the church service, she was prayed for, and she was delivered from the demon possession. She was delivered from demons.
Hallelujah.
And she improved tremendously. Everything improved. Now what she was reading from the Bible, she was also receiving and changing her life. When she went back for her medical test, they could not find the HIV anymore.
Praise God.
So, yes, do you say God is real?
Yeah.
But on other occasions, we had another guy that was HIV. And he died from HIV.
But he would have been a leader. He was a godly young man that got filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching.
But he said, I don't care. I am really, really free now. And I know where I'm going. I'm going to see my Jesus. So we do not know why God heals somebody and why he doesn't others. He is the one that knows, but we need to keep on trusting, right?
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it.
That was absolutely incredible, incredible conversation. Thank you so much for sharing. So, you know, the whole point of this, as I said before, is to simply encourage anyone listening that feels called to the mission field to take a step of faith. I know it's a lot of work. You know, you got to go get your funding. You got to, you know, you got to make those connections that will send you out there in the first place. You got to get some education, you know. Not everyone's going to have doors open, you know, if they don't meet the qualifications, right? So for anyone that is listening that feels like this is something they need to do and maybe they're just wrestling with it, what would you tell them?
I say, test the waters, go to someone, pray together, see what God says to you, as God spoke to us through his word, God spoke to us through circumstances, and God opened the doors. I would say, if you have any urging, any spirit, like my friend who started Youth with a Mission, he had a vision that God showed him, waves of water that were youth flowing. Mm-hmm. And Youth with a Mission is the largest spirit-filled Christian organization in the world, as far as numerically. The Assemblies of God has been a vehicle to this, but other groups like Youth with a Mission and others God has and is using. You just have to be sensitive to the Lord and put it to the test. My answer came through scripture. Others might be through a prophetic. My dad had a prophetic word that took him from his job as a tailor to go back to his home country because he had immigrated from Italy, to go back in 1949 with no support base except $100 a month from the home church. Now, even though it was way back then, they left everything. But there was a problem in the way. There was a weekly daughter, my older sister. They didn't know this at the time, but the Lord decided to take her. It was a difficult thing for my parents, but they always knew that had she lived, they could not have gone to the mission field. So God has different ways to work. I say just look to the word, take counsel, there may be of others to sit down and talk with, because God works in different ways in different lives to open and show the doors the way he did with their family, to show them that the Bible was more important than their background.
There's one thing. There is a mission organization and leaders that will stand behind the missionary. I would say submit, learn, study as much as you can about the country that God is putting in your life. That is showing you where you're supposed to go. Try to learn about the culture and the language. Always remember that there will be a culture shock. Do not go trying to change the culture where you're going. Learn the culture. Make friends. Well, it depends also what kind of country we are talking about. I'm talking not Middle Eastern countries or closed, sensitive countries. But if you get relationships with the neighbors, with the friends of the new country, you will have a better inroad. You will be able to witness. Even if you have a dog or a puppy, living in Germany, I was able to reach more of my neighbors because I had a little puppy that I was walking around. do not be afraid to ask for help. In most countries, mission countries, there are other missionaries around that might be willing to come alongside you, help you make it in the field where you're working. The enemy is not happy when you make inroad and you conquer his territory. He would put everything that is possible in the way to stop you. There is strength in the wisdom of many. So prayer and surround yourself.
And one thing I didn't mention, but I'll just say it in a nutshell. One thing we never expected, though God, when I was still single, had put me in a position where I was around military, U.S. military as a single person. Well, as a married couple, we wound up working with U.S. military in our latter years before we were preparing to come home. We had turned Teen Challenge over to a younger person who has just continued to see it blossoming in the many countries of Europe. And we had neighbors who were pastors in the Baptist church. We shared ministry together. We didn't have to compromise anything. They didn't compromise anything. And it was just a privilege to see how God moved and touched people's lives. And we have ongoing contact still with these same people because God has used them. And without any tunnel vision, we have missionaries today that are in places where their lives are in danger that this church is supporting. I won't mention countries or names, but and some I've been in contact with when I was helping out with missions contacts from our church. And I know they're still going on, and they've decided, despite the situations where they are, they're going to hang in there because God places us with there. That's what they say.
I will keep stressing teamwork, better together. There is strength when there are many that support in prayer. Many times we hosted missionaries coming. We were in Germany. We hosted missionaries coming from Eastern Europe that needed a break. And so the body of Christ working to equip, to help, to pray, to make sure that we make it.
Well, and can we just close in prayer?
Yes.
Do you mind praying for, number one, anyone who may have stumbled upon this podcast that doesn't know the Lord? And then number two, anyone who does feel called to the missions, to pray for them as well.
You go ahead and I'll close.
Well, Father God, we thank you so much because you are real. Your word is true. Your promises are yes and amen. Nothing that you said will go void. And we can trust you. You have done miracles in the past, and you will do miracles in the future. You sustain those who call on you. You are faithful. And if there is someone that has not met you, I pray that you will draw this person close to you.
Yes, Lord.
That you will reveal yourself in a way so real, so tangible, that there's no way to deny it.
Yes.
You are a God that loves. You are a God that searches for people. And in you, we find the best satisfaction possible that we can find in this life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, and we thank you and pray that anyone who hears these testimonies, that you will speak to their hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
and these are not things that come alive just thousands of miles away or in third world countries, but you are real today, right where we are, right where we live. Whatever our situation is, you are there for us to lead us, to guide us, to intervene on our behalf. We honor you, Father, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for us, and for the Holy Spirit, who has come to lead and to guide us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.